Good day to you. Welcome to another edition of The Front Page on Morehead State Public Radio. I'm your host, Chuck Meraz. Today we're joined by Rowland County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. Judge Blevins, as always, welcome to the program.
Glad to be here.
Well, let's talk first of all about the jail. We kind of always start the show off with that because that's an ongoing project. And how are things going out there?
Doing great. I went to actually walk through it, and I was kind of amazed at how much has been done. We've got maybe three sections of it under roof, and they're working on the other one. And, of course, that's you've still got to go up another 10 feet, I think, on the second story. But now there's not going to be any cells on the second story. That's mainly just for mechanical stuff. So, but I think making tremendous progress, and as far as I can tell, they're on target.
What does it look like on the inside?
It's huge. It takes it'll keep in shape just walking walking around in there. It's a humongous type building, and I think people will be pleased that it's not going to be a palace for criminals, but it's at least a place where we can keep them safe and keep them away from the public.
Have they gotten some work done on the inside? I know obviously the steel's up and everything, but
well, all the plumbing and everything is put in, and all the electric is basically put in there. It's just of course there won't be much much frills as far as the kind of texture of the paint. It'll basically just be painted, and we may have some of the inmates even do some of the painting, is what I've been told, and so save a few dollars there. But it's taking shape, and I think it'll be a good safe place, and it'll look much better than an old tobacco warehouse did too.
Well, one thing we talk about too when you come over regarding this project is the change order sometimes you face. Have you had some more of those?
We had three this time, and relatively very small, except one's a little bigger than the others. One was for $649. We also had and that was something to do with one of the kitchen areas, and we also had a $2,181 one, and I think that was to our good. And then there was one other one for about $6,000, I think. And basically, it was it'll help us get the building up and running faster. If you're building this thing, the way I understood it, is if you did it the way the architects set up, it would slow the process down, and by using a different type of caulking material. There's some added expense to that, but we'll be able to get the building up and running faster. So I think it was like $6,000 for that.
So all things told, from a financial standpoint, are you still in the ballpark?
We're still doing very well on change orders. I think we've close to over $900,000 for change orders, contingency funds they call it, and we've only used about maybe $30,000. So we're doing quite well.
And the timeline for the project, how are you doing with that?
We're probably January 1, I think, we'll hopefully be up and running. But hopefully maybe if things go good, maybe even a little earlier. But you don't want to get your hopes up too much.
Sounds like you might be ahead of schedule with the project.
I don't know if we're really ahead of schedule. Maybe I think we're a few days behind. But again, some things can be, if you bring a few more people in there, you can get things done quite a bit faster. And we're hoping that we'll meet those deadlines. We need to get out of Morehead State University's we're paying rent on our old jailhouse now, so we need to get out of there as soon as we can.
Yeah, you mentioned that. How much is that dude, you're paying?
I think it's about $120,000 a month, and it's we'll because they owe us $1 million, and so it'll cut into that sum. But I think that's for the yearly amount. I think was the yearly amount, not a monthly amount, and we'll sooner we get out the more money we'll have to spend on jail equipment and other things.
Okay. Now on some other issues, I guess regarding the broadband project that will expand broadband service into Round County further than what it is right now. I guess this is called the final mile, correct?
Well, that's called the middle mile, what we're getting, and that's the final mile will be up to mainly us and some of our partners, or hope to be soon to be partners. We've got to try to get the final mile, but what I've been told is they'll start hopefully we'll have all our cable laid and are strung on the poles, either one. It'll a combination of things, and we'll have that in place hopefully August and September, and then we'll have it at least high-speed internet in all the schools, high-speed broadband and fiber, I guess you'd call it, be the best way to call it, dark fiber, in all our public facilities and all our public schools.
And that's important.
Yes, it's very important. It'll save us some money and give us much better service, and it'll allow other groups to come in. We're talking to several groups right now to see which way we're going to go. We need somebody to come here and be an internet service provider, or one of the companies that's already here to come in and provide those services. The mayor and I are kind of thinking we may want to do it as a public utility, and that way this we can control, have a little more control over the prices that we're asking people for the services, and eventually we'll own it and have some profits for the community and for the city and county.
Will that cost the county and the city then, i.e. the taxpayers?
We'll have to, the way this one company wants to do that, we'll have to pay them, I think, $5,000 a month for the next 10 years. And at the end of those 10 years, we will own the system. We can, in turn, contract with them or some other group. But again, we're looking with Mountain Rural Telephone has come in. They're talking about trying to maybe provide some of this type of stuff. They're in the business up in many of the surrounding counties. And, of course, we've got AT&T and Windstream and, of course, Spectrum used to be Time Warner. So we're going to look at those people and see who can come up with the best deal for the people of Round County and city of Morehead.
Well, that's it. Competition drives down price and drives up quality.
That's exactly what we're hoping. And, of course, having the dark fiber it will cut the price about 80% on what people would have to pay to use AT&T's lines right now. So it's going to be it'll hopefully bring some competition to the market, and people have good service, and we'll be up and running. We use it not only for the people here, but to attract other industries and other people to come to live in your community. And we need those same things that Lexington, Louisville, and other communities have.
When do you hope to have all this in place?
Well, we'll have the main lines in. We're negotiating, or not. Well, not negotiating. I guess we're talking to different groups right now. We haven't got down to the final negotiation, but we're going to be hopefully doing that these next few months while the middle mile is actually being put up.
Well, you brought up a very good point. When you talk about economic development, it is a must to have high-speed internet.
If you don't have it, they're not going to look at you. And we think that we've kind of been left behind by some of our carriers now by not having high-speed broadband to attract industry. And I don't have a lot of sympathy for those people. If they want to start competing, let's let them compete.
Okay. All right. You know, we've had such a mild winter, and I talked with one of your judge executive compadres here recently, Larry Foxworthy, up in Fleming County, and I asked him about the impact perhaps on the county budget, because obviously if you're not out there running your road crews to get the snow and ice off the roads, you're likely saving money. He said, yeah, we've saved some money. How about Rowan County?
Yeah, we'll save some money. There's no question about it. We still have people out, you know, taking care of ditches and faults and those types of things, and doing some minor coal patching, but we got a stockpile of salt that we're hopefully not going to have to use, and that'll save next year. We won't have to purchase any or as much. So anytime you have good weather, it saves you dollars.
Do you think, because it's been a mild winter and people are not using their road salt, the next time you go to buy salt, that perhaps the price could be a little bit cheaper?
The price could be cheaper, yes, that's right. Supply and demand, and if we already got a supply, we don't have to pay a high price for it this next time. We already pay, and we got a good deal on it. We went through the reverse auction using CAECO, Kentucky Organization of Counties, and got a good price, beat what we were paying in prior years, and they do a reverse auction, they call it, and we saved probably $10 a ton on it.
We've talked before about this. When you're running plows over these roads, especially when you've had to go over the gravel roads, I mean, it beats up the roads pretty good, so I imagine that...
It's what causes your potholes is the freezing and thawing, and plus the putting of the chemicals, and plus the grading of them. You disrupt the blacktop and create problems, and then you got to go back and try to fix those problems. So I don't think... We're not through winter yet. I'm an optimist, but I still see some dark clouds on the horizon as far as we've still got the month of March to go through. It looks like February, we're home free right now.
And at the same time, if you can get through March, you talked about what that type of weather does to the roads. You might save some money on road repairs here in the spring.
That's what we're hoping. And, of course, with the cuts we're seeing in in Frankfurt, I think they got about a 12% decline in their transportation dollars. And there has been a crying out of the industry for raising the gasoline tax. I mean, if you're going to have good roads, somebody's got to pay for them. And right now, the federal government's cut back. They're not. Actually, we're going to lose all our toll credits, I think, by the year 2000, I believe. And those toll credits, we've been using those as our match. And well, there won't be any more toll credits. It means we've got to come up with state dollars to actually get the federal dollars. We have to match the federal money. So if we're going to continue the road system we have and maintain the road system we have, we're going to have to look at some way to raise those dollars. And I know the industry, and I've heard some politicians that I didn't dream of. We talk about raising revenue, whether it's a tax on the gasoline or increasing fees for licensing and fees for license plates and those types of things. But you have to fund the roads. If you don't, you're going to wind up paying big dollars down the road.
Well, explain this concept that you mentioned a moment ago, the toll credits, and maybe how much that means in terms of the amount of cash you get from them for Rowan County.
Well, it's about $125 to $150 million in toll credits that we've been using. We got toll credits back when we had toll roads, and because we were taking money to let people drive on the roads, Mountain Parkway, West Kentucky Parkway, and all those different parkways. And, of course, most of those, I don't know if we've got any parkways right now in Kentucky. So we had toll credits built up over a period of years, and we were using those because you didn't have to come up with $125 million or up to $150 million, depending on how much money you're getting from the feds. So it's if we lose those, it means directly tax money out of the taxpayers' pockets right now. Of course, I mean, those toll credits were taxpayer money too, but we were able to use them we could spend our tax dollars on more local roads and county roads. Right now we're maintaining that those funds fairly good. I got some information. We had Randy Stull and David Leach came in and talked about our dollars as far as flex funds next year. We're close to where we have been, to about $202 million. And they also they're going to do some rural secondary projects. We're going to re-asphalt, put another inch of asphalt on McBrayer Road. We're doing a lot of the tree trimming and removing some of the hazardous limb removal. And we've got some slip repair and some cribbing and also some guardrail, I think, on, that's Kentucky 3318. So we're still getting most of the dollars we were seeing, but now when it comes to discretionary dollars, we didn't get any last year. We still put an application for some roads. We're hoping that we may get some of those dollars, but you have to have all your – the way I understand, you've got to spend all your flex dollars, which we've not completely spent all our flex dollars because of the winter came in and we weren't able to lay some blacktop early in the winter. And, of course, if the blacktop plant was open, we could have done it the last couple of weeks. We could have finished that up. But they usually don't open up for that type of period. We'll have to wait probably into April or May, and they'll open up. And then hopefully we'll finish up the what they call the flex dollars, and then we'll hopefully try to get their discretionary dollars. And at the same time, we'll be applying for trying to find the roads that we want to spend the $202,000 on.
Well, you mentioned the parkways and the tolls, and nobody likes to pay the tolls. But quite frankly, Kentucky is one of the few states I've ever seen that I know of that's actually taken down toll gates. Most of the time, you see them in other places, they're raising the price for the tolls. Kentucky took them down. I'm just kind of curious if maybe Kentucky will look at putting them back up. Not that I'm necessarily advocating for that. I'm just curious if that might be something that would be looked at in the future.
Well, it's kind of a user tax. And same thing on the gasoline. If you don't drive many miles, you don't pay much of a tax. If you're the same thing with the toll road. If you're not traveling that road, you're not paying any tax, any fee. So those are some of the things that we're looking at doing. Of course, I'm not in Frankfurt to make those decisions now. But I think there's going to be a real pressure to, I think, as well as the state and the federal government, to find new ways to fund the road system, because we've got a terrific system, and if you don't maintain it, you're going to pay twice as much to fix it.
You'd think the roads in Rowan County are in pretty good shape right now.
I think for the money we've got right now and the amount of roads we have, I think we're doing a pretty good job. I don't hear too many complaints. everybody wants to have, I guess, Paul Patton, you say the most important road is the road in front of your house, and people do call, and they're concerned about sometimes a little crack or a little pothole, but our group is trying to get out there and take care of those things as they happen.
I've had this discussion with other judge executives as well, in the sense that there's still a number of roads in our county that are unpaved. I was kind of curious, how many miles of unpaved road do we have in Round County? Do you know?
I don't have those figures exactly. Most of the ones that are gravel road tend to be cemetery roads, and we maintain them for cemeteries. We do that as part of our. They've been doing it for years, so I continue doing it. We have some respect for those people that were taxpayers years and years ago, and we want to make sure that their families can get up to their funeral, when they have the funerals on there, on those facilities, and to go and pay the respects during the times of the year. So we try to maintain those, but I think most of our roads right now tend to be paved roads.
At the same time, when we talk about getting money from the state transportation cabinet to pave the roads that are gravel right now, I guess that's...
We don't get money to that. If we wanted to do that, we'd have to take our own money. We get county money it's about $1 million, I guess, a little over $1 million. And on top of the $202,000 for the flex dollars. Now, the flex dollars can only be put on roads that were blacktop already. It's just for maintaining those roads. You can't blacktop any new roads. Some of our county money, we could do some of that, but again, unless you can do quite a few, and you try to spend those dollars so you're benefiting the more taxpayers you can. If we start trying to blacktop the gravel roads, which are mainly cemetery roads, you're going to make more people mad. You blacktop this end of the county, and somebody says, "Well, you didn't get mine," and so it creates a problem. So far, we were able to maintain those roads. I don't hear many complaints from people, so we'll probably just try to maintain what we've got, not add any more blacktop. Of course, you probably save some money in the long run by doing that, because you don't have to put gravel every year or every so often. So it's something, if we had dollars to spend, and maybe we. We're hoping the money that we are going to receive from the increase in the payroll tax, 0.5%, if we're going to try to pay the debt on the jail, and our next thing we use if we have extra money, we're going to use that for blacktop, and then, of course, for emergency services. And hopefully we're going to have some extra money there we can pick up. If the discretionary dollars don't come in, we'll have our own discretionary dollars.
Again, our guest today on Front Page is Rowan County Judge Executive Dr. Walter Blevins. We will take a break right here, come back with more on the program in just a moment.
There are many ways to connect with Morehead State Public Radio. Log on to WMKY.org for enhanced regional news, on-demand audio and video, breaking news from NPR, and information on your favorite programs. Get links to Facebook and Twitter while you listen to our live broadcast online, or download mobile apps from NPR and take 90.3 FM with you everywhere. Connect with your community and Morehead State Public Radio. Visit WMKY.org.
Welcome back to today's Front Page. I'm Chuck Moraz. Again, our guest is Dr. Walter Blevins, Rowan County Judge Executive. And Judge, we'll kind of open this thing up a little bit and find out maybe some of the other issues that are happening around the county. One thing we haven't talked about is that pipeline project and maybe where you are with that. Kinder Morgan wants to run that liquid natural gas through Rowan County as part of the multi-county pipeline project. Any news on that?
Well, I was in Frankfort last week for the CAICO CAICO Day, and we had a reception, and I ran into the lobbyist for Kinder Morgan, and he was telling me that at present time that's kind of dropped off their list of projects. I hope that's true. I hope it stays that way, because again, I don't think that project is really good for our people here in Round County. I think it could jeopardize lives and jeopardize the cost of property, could drive property prices down, especially if you're close to the pipeline. So he did tell me that. I'm hoping that's just not a ruse to kind of slow us down. Again, we're going to try to start up our committee on looking at zoning or land management, whichever way you want to call it, to try to get a handle on some of these things. We're going to see growth in this area. I've got high hopes that we're going to fill up the industrial park, maybe not in my tenure, but in the near future we'll see a need to maybe even develop another area for economic development. That's about 300 acres. I mean, that's a lot of jobs. But I'm hearing good things. I didn't support the bill that they passed on right to work state. But what I understand from the economic development people, we're seeing many more people come to and look at Kentucky now. They said there's about 30% of those people that that are in looking at increasing their employment and building factory sites. 30% of those people would not even look at Kentucky. We're just off their list because we couldn't check that box. But we'll have to see. I hope that something good does come out of that bill. Let me mention one other little thing. Freedom Park, that's right here by the Art Center, the old courthouse. The Veterans Foundation owns that property where the monuments are with the names of the people that served in the armed forces. And they're paying about $1,200-$1,300 a year for the insurance on that. And I asked CAECO, that's who we have our insurance through on our buildings, and I had them to look at what it would cost if the county took that over. And we're going to be able to take that over for about $675, about half the amount that the veterans were paying for that, and we will maintain that instead of making the veterans pay any of that. It's on our property. It's valuable to us as well as valuable to them, so we're going to pay the insurance for them. And if there's any vandalism or wind damage or any kind of weather damage, you know, we'll have money to hopefully correct those problems.
Yeah, I guess that'll allow them to do some other things with that money.
Yeah, they're a struggling group. They do a lot of good things, and of course, you're a veteran. I don't think you can do enough for your veterans. That's why we have those great freedoms that we celebrate, because we had people, including myself, willing to go and fight and sacrifice for this country. And so, to me, it's a good savings for them and not much of a burden on taxpayers.
I'm just curious, getting back to the Kinder Morgan project, and you mentioned that it's kind of been dropped off the table by the company at this point. Was there any indication from the rep you talked to as to why?
I guess just the economy right now. There are other ways to make money, and I think they realize there's some people concerned about this, and of course we're looking to try and do what we could do. Of course we don't have planning and zoning, there's not much we can do, but I know Madison County, which does have zoning, they're trying to stop it, and I think also Boyle County, they've got zoning in that community, and they've tried to put some barriers up to keep those people from being able to do that.
You mentioned the zoning. You talked about that, and I know that you plan to kind of send a group out to maybe do some fact-finding around the county and get some public input on the issue. When do you want to start doing all that?
Well, I'm hoping this month we can, or at least end of this month and 1st of March, we're going to try to get out and maybe hold some hearings, not just to try to educate the people what can happen if you don't have zoning. Of course, I represented Lawrence County years ago, and they tried to bring a big company over there called PyroChem, which is going to be a hazardous waste incinerator. They were going to bring hazardous waste from all over the country, and it was right next to the high school, and people went berserk. And I mean, that's a rural county, more rural than we are, and not as educated perhaps as if you look at the number of college graduates and high school graduates. And they decided to pass zoning years and years ago, and I think when people realize that zoning is not all bad, that you're trying to protect your community and protect the values of the property. But again, we're going to listen to the people and try to educate them on what can be done and how I think there's some things you can put in there where basically if you're a farm, we can't do anything to you. If you want to build you a fence, we don't have to come before us. But now if you start subdividing your property and that type of thing, if you're going to try to sell it for a company that we're not, that's not basically agriculture, then we would have some recourse to kind of stop that development.
In the past, fiscal courts here in Round County had been, I think, tended to be at least against the idea of countywide zoning. Are you getting any feeling from the current fiscal court that they're at least willing to, the members of the court, at least willing to maybe take a look at this issue again?
I think they're willing to take a look at it. I mean, a couple of my members were on the court when they talked about doing this. I think one of them actually went out in the county, and it was, he says, a dangerous place to be. So what we're trying to do is make them aware of what zoning can do, the good things that it can do, and to try to blend a zoning so it's the least harmful it can be to the individual. And the members that I've got on there, I think they feel the same as I do. We don't want to be so strict that people can't do anything in their home or on their own property, but we do want to try to protect the community from the kind of development that you don't want. It'll basically drive the cost of your property down.
All right. Judge, as always, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you. Have a good day, Chuck.
Round County Judge Executive Walter Blevins. I'm Chuck Moraz on Front Page. See you next time.